We're going to talk about the word know this morning, K-N-O-W. I don't know if any of you will know this name. Medium in height, wavy silver hair, and a signature pipe. Every picture I Googled of him in Google recently, he has his signature pipe. Arthur F. Burns was economic counselor to a number of presidents from Eisenhower to Reagan. Now, a lot of those guys work in obscurity, so unless you're maybe a real political person or economic person, you might not know anything about this guy. But the position he filled in our government was a pretty important position, so his opinions carried weight and people tended to listen to what he said. Arthur Burns was also a Jew, and so when he began attending an informal Bible study made up primarily of Christians that met for prayer and Bible study in the White House back in the early 1970s, the group really didn't know what to do with him. They accorded him a lot of respect, but no one really quite knew how to involve him in the study. So week after week, when different people would lead the study and then end the meeting in prayer, Burns was usually passed by when it came time to maybe say a closing prayer. One week, the study was led by a newcomer to the group who did not know the dynamics of the group and really didn't know anything about the unusual status that Burns occupied in the group. And as the meeting ended, the newcomer turned to Burns and asked him to close the meeting with a prayer. Some of the old-timers in the group reportedly glanced at each other, weren't quite sure what to do of that, weren't quite sure what was going to happen. But without missing a beat, Burns reached out, grabbed the hands of the men to the right and the left of him, as was the customary practice of the group whenever it came time to end, and prayed this prayer: Lord, I pray that you bring Jews to know Jesus Christ. I pray that you would bring Muslims to know Jesus Christ. And finally, Lord, I pray that you would bring Christians to know Jesus Christ. There are a lot of different directions I could go with that at this point in my lesson, but we're going to go in this direction today, and I'm going to ask a simple question, and it might seem an odd question to a gathering of perhaps 99% Christians. I want to ask you this question. Do you know Jesus? Now, before you push back on that and say, well, of course I know Jesus. Why else would I be here if I didn't know Jesus? Before you push back a little too hard on that, you might want to remember a statement that the Apostle Paul made, author of almost half of what we call the New Testament, and possibly, likely, the greatest missionary for Christ to have ever preached the gospel, to a group of disciples in Philippi, about halfway through the letter, Paul wrote these words, chapter 3, what we call chapter 3 and verse 10. I want to know Christ. Here's a guy who at the time he wrote this letter had likely been a follower of Jesus for a couple of decades. He was writing this letter while under house arrest in Rome because of his faith in Jesus and his commitment to preaching the gospel of Jesus. Earlier in this same letter, Paul makes the statement that he's ready to die and go be with Jesus because that's better in his mind than anything this life has to offer. You would think, would you not, that someone imprisoned for his faith in Jesus and who felt it would be better for him to go ahead and die and go on and be with Jesus would pretty much know Jesus. And yet here in this letter, Paul makes this statement, I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of sharing in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, and so somehow to attain to the resurrection from the dead. Now, what do we make of this statement? I want to know Jesus. Clearly, at this point in his life, Paul already knows Jesus. Knows what he did. Knows about him. Been following him for quite some time. So what do we make of this statement that Paul makes? I want to know Jesus. He already knows Jesus. What does he mean? He wants to know Jesus. Well, I think a key to understanding what Paul is getting at here is found in the meaning of this Greek word, know. The Greek word translated know, where none of us are Greek scholars in here, with the exception of maybe one or two who've had some Greek classes and know a little bit. Most of us don't know much Greek. I don't know much Greek. But here's what I've been told. The Greek word translated know indicates the most intimate knowledge of another person that could be possible. The Hebrew equivalent of this word suggested physical intimacy with another. Do you remember how in some of our English translations, Adam knew Eve and she conceived? Behind that Hebrew word is an intimacy that is so deep, it involves sexual intimacy. We understand that verse to mean not just that Adam knew something about his wife, but they knew each other in a sexually intimate way. Now, the Greek word doesn't have that sexual intimacy to it, but it carries with it the idea of not just knowing something about someone, but really knowing that person. Paul's behind this statement, I want to know Jesus, is not just the idea of, well, I want to know a little bit more about where Jesus was born. I want to know a little bit more about who Jesus' family was. I want to know a little bit more about some of the facts of Jesus. That's not what Paul's wanting here. Paul wants to go past that. He wants to know Jesus, if I can use the word, intimately. He wants to know Jesus more deeply. I might use the word more personally. He wants to go deeper in his relationship with Jesus. He wants to experience him and his power, to share more fully in his life, even in his sufferings, he says. And so somehow, someday, to experience even completely the power and glory of the resurrection of Jesus. Wanting to know Jesus, I think Paul would have said amen to Arthur Burns's prayer. I think he would have said, "Yes, Lord, I too want my brothers and sisters in Christ, even those who have known Jesus for years, to come to know Jesus." To not just know some facts about Jesus, but to know him deeply, intimately, personally, to experience him and his power. I think Paul would have said a hearty amen to Arthur Burns's prayer. Yes, Lord, may even Christians, many of whom have been following Jesus for decades, my prayer too would be that we all come to know Jesus. Wanting to know Jesus, to experience more of him, more of his power, more of the life he offers, should, I believe, be the desire of every disciple here this morning, from the youngest of us to the oldest of us. No serious disciple of Jesus should ever reach a point in his or her life where they are content to say, "I know and have experienced all of Jesus and his life and the power that he offers that I need to know or care to know." I don't think any of us who are following Jesus and serious about following Jesus should ever come to a point where we are satisfied with the relationship we have with the Son of God. I don't think any of us should ever say, "I'm good. Got all I need. I got all the Jesus in my life I need." I don't think any of us should ever reach a point where that's kind of our attitude, that "I'm good. I don't really need anymore. I don't really need to know anymore. I don't really need to have anything. I'm good with what I've got." I don't think the Apostle Paul ever reached that point in his walk with Jesus. If you opened your Bibles a moment ago to the verse that I was reading from, chapter 3 and verse 10, if you've still got them open, you might look at a couple of verses later where Paul continues this thought. And he gives us kind of some insight into his heart, into his mindset, into his idea of what his relationship with Jesus kind of looks like. And he says in verse 12, "Not that I've already obtained all of this or have already been made perfect, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers, I don't consider myself yet to have taken hold of anything. But one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus." That doesn't sound to me like the language of someone who was satisfied with where they were. Paul's saying, "Look, I haven't obtained anything yet. I'm still pressing on. I'm still pressing into this relationship with Christ. I'm not resting on what's behind me. I'm looking forward to what's ahead of me. I haven't obtained anything yet. I'm still in the search. I want to know Christ." Even after all these years that he'd been following Christ, even after suffering all that he had suffered for his relationship with Christ, Paul's mindset is still, "I want to know Christ." Here's the thing I think I appreciate most about this guy that we read about in Scripture called the Apostle Paul. He knew he was a work in progress. He knew Jesus was still working on him. He knew that in Jesus there was always more to be experienced. There was always more joy. There was always more intimacy to be gained. There was always more power to be experienced. There was always more to be learned. There was always more to do. We didn't coordinate the songs, but Danny picked a good one. More about Jesus would I know. That was Paul's motto. In his mind, with Jesus, there was always more. There was always more to be gained, always more to be experienced. So here is my challenge to us this morning. Almost done. Now that woke some of you up. Not quite sure what to do about that. Wait, done? It's just 10 till. What's going on? Okay. Yeah, gotcha. So here's my challenge to us this morning as disciples. That's who we are. You a disciple? Hey, play along here. Thank you, Scott. Appreciate it. Appreciate that. As disciples of Jesus, may we have the attitude of the Apostle Paul, an attitude that wants more. I want more. When it comes to Jesus, I want more. I want to know Him better. I want to know Him more fully. I want to know Him more completely. I want to know Him more intimately. I want to know Him more personally. I don't want to just know some more about Him, although I may need to just know some more things about Him. I want more. As disciples of Jesus, shouldn't that be the heart pull of every one of us? I want more. With Jesus, there's always more. I want to know Christ. Now, some of you may be wondering, well, okay, fine. How do I know? How do I get more of Jesus? Real quickly, just three or four thoughts for you to take with you. And I'm going to tell you up front, this is not going to rock your world, but it's stuff you need to hear. It's stuff we all need to be reminded of. Here, in a very, very simply, here are some things you and I can do to get more of Jesus in us. To know Him more deeply, to know Him more intimately, to know Him more personally. Four things. Number one, don't forget to read the Gospels. Right? If you don't know much about Jesus, where do you need to go to begin understanding Him and what He did and how He treated people and what He taught? Where would you learn that? Where would you get that? The Gospels. That's the primary source material we have for what can be known about Jesus. Factually, what did He do? Where was He born? Who were His parents? Where did He go? How long did He minister? What did He teach? You want to know that? You want to learn that? You want to grow in your understanding of those things of Jesus? Where do you go? You go to the Gospels. Don't ever get too far away from the Gospels. When was the last time you read a Gospel? Maybe read one this week. Mark's a good one. I love it. It's an action Gospel. Jesus is always on the move. He's going, 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 and doing. Read Mark. Read a gospel. I love all the books that have been written about Jesus. I got a bunch of them. And I'm always looking for new ones. Maybe you got a new one you can recommend to me. I'm always looking to learn something new, something fresh about Jesus. But here's the thing. You really want to learn about Jesus? Read a gospel. It doesn't get any better than Matthew, Mark, Luke. or John. So don't get too far from the Gospels. If you feel like you don't know much about Jesus, immerse yourself in a Gospel. If you feel like maybe it's been a while since I read much about Jesus, go back to the Gospels. Renew your relationship with the Jesus that is found in the Gospels. Number two, don't just be content to read about Jesus. Do what he said. Right? We want to know Jesus. We want to live his power. We want to experience his life. Don't just read about him. Don't just talk about him. We're good at talking about things in church. We talk all the time, right? We got all kinds of classes. Some meet today. Some we'll meet again tonight. We got ladies' classes. We got men's classes. We got all kinds of classes around here. If you can't find a class around here, you can't. You're blind. You can't find one. Something's wrong. A lot of talking going on around here about Jesus. But the question is, what are we doing with what we talk about, right? So don't just read something about Jesus. Actually try to imitate Jesus. Live it out. Take something simple he taught and go practice it on somebody. You know? Treat other people the way you want to be treated. All right, I'm going to go do that today. Now be ready to get challenged. Because if you go through your day thinking about that, that's going to change the way you act. I guarantee it. If you get up in the morning and go to work with this attitude, all right, Jesus said, treat others the way you would want to be treated. I'm going to live that out today. I'm going to put that into practice. I'm going to follow the example of Jesus. I guarantee you that'll change your day. Big time. It'll make you do things you don't want to do. Right? Man, I don't want to do that. But Jesus said, treat people the way I would want. If I was in that, that's what I'd want. So I'm going to do it. It'll change your life. So put it into action. We're going to have more to say about that next week. I'm going to move on real quickly. Number three. Here's a novel idea. You want to get to know somebody? What do you got to do to get to know somebody? You got to talk to them, don't you? If I want to get to know Holly Cherry sitting back here about halfway through the building, you were dozing off on me, weren't you? I see you bowed your head, and I thought, I'm going to get her. Yeah, you weren't sleeping. You were just looking. You were reading your Bible. I know what you were doing. How am I going to get to know you, Holly? How are you going to get to know me? We're going to have to talk a little bit. We're going to have to talk. We're going to have to share some things. We're going to have to speak and share what's inside. Maybe some of us need to talk to Jesus a little bit more than we've been doing. I love a story that Brennan Manning tells in his book, Abba's Child. It's a story of a man who was dying of cancer. The man's daughter, out of concern for her father, asked her minister to drop by and visit her dad in the home where he was staying. When he arrived, he found the man lying in bed with his head propped up on two pillows and an empty chair pulled up beside his bed. The minister assumed the man had been informed of his visit, and he pulled the chair up as a place for the minister to sit. And so he said to the man, I guess you're expecting me. And the man said, no. Who are you? I don't know who you are. Well, oh, I'm sorry. I'm your daughter's minister. She'd asked me to stop by and visit you, and I thought since you'd pulled the chair up there, maybe you were expecting me to drop by today. With that, the old man invited the minister to come in and please close the door. And so he did. He shut the door, and the man said, look, I've never told anyone this, not even my daughter. But for years, I wanted to know Jesus, and I wanted to know how to pray to Jesus, but I could not figure it out. I heard preachers talk about it all the time, but much of what they said just never made any sense to me. I even talked to one minister about it, and he gave me a book to read about prayer and getting to know Jesus. Said it was one of the best one ever written on that subject. Well, in the first three pages of that book, I had to look up 12 words in the dictionary, so I gave him back the book and I thanked him. But under my breath, I whispered, thanks for nothing. So I pretty much gave up on really getting to know Jesus and praying to Jesus until a few years ago, a friend of mine, we were talking about this, and he said to me, Joe, if you want to get to know Jesus, if you want to have a better prayer life with Jesus, just have a conversation with him. In fact, here's what I suggest you do. Sit down in the chair, place an empty chair beside you, and in faith, just envision Jesus being in that chair and have a conversation with him. It may feel a little weird, but Jesus says he'll be with us always, so just talk to him. And then just listen for whatever he might have to say to you. So I tried it. And he was right, it felt really weird at first. But the more I did it, the more I liked it. And now I do it every day. I'm careful, though, if my daughter sees me talking to an empty chair, she may think I've lost my mind. The minister grinned and encouraged the old guy to continue on his journey. He prayed with him and then returned to his office. 2 days later, the daughter called to tell him that her dad had passed away. He said he was sorry, and then he asked, did he seem to die in peace? And she said, yes, I think so. When I left the house around 2, he called me over to his bedside, told me one of his corny jokes, and kissed me on the cheek. When I got back from the store an hour later, he was gone. But there was something strange. In fact, it was kind of weird. Apparently, just before Daddy died, he leaned over and rested his head on a chair beside the bed. That guy wanted to know Jesus. And he built that relationship with Jesus by day after day talking to Jesus. I don't know if that sounds weird to you or not. It would have, at one time in my life, it would have sounded really weird. I didn't fit the theology, the world, the biblical view of things that I had. Talking to Jesus just wasn't in my vocabulary. But what could be more natural than a disciple talking to his rabbi? What could be more natural than a disciple talking to his teacher? Than a follower of Jesus talking to the one who is leading? So if we want to get to know Jesus, yeah, read the Gospels. That's where we learn about Jesus. That's where we see him at work. That's where we see him relating to people. And we learn from him how to relate to people and how to treat people. And we commit ourselves to living out what he taught and being obedient to him and listening to him through those scriptures. But it's also important, if you want to know somebody, you got to build a relationship with them and talk with them. So talk to Jesus. I don't care if that sounds weird or not. Try it. Maybe even pull up a chair every once in a while and invite him to sit down and just say, Jesus, I got to share what's on my heart today. And then maybe just listen and see what you hear back, because his spirit is in us. And if we seek, if we'll ask, if we'll knock, we'll find what we need. And then real quick, number 4, just resist the urge to settle. Resist the urge to settle. Keep pressing on. I don't care where you are. I don't care who you are. I don't care how long you've known Jesus or how long you haven't known him. There's more available. We just got to keep pursuing it. So don't settle with where you are. Remember the words of the Apostle Paul. I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. As disciples of Jesus, may the 4-letter word know be one we speak often. May Paul's desire be our desire. I want to know Christ. On Mother's Day earlier this year, I gave the women in attendance that morning a gift. I'd like to give the men one too. Don't want you guys to be left out. And so if you would like a little reminder, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Just something you can put in your pocket, keep in your car, to remind you, with Jesus, there's always more. Amen? Amen. So, this is your gift. Come look me up, and I'll give it to you before you leave. Let's bless somebody. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make His face to shine upon you and give you peace.